This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
So we'll start by welcoming Dave from Manchester United Youth. And what do you think of Slovakia?
Very pleasant, very nice, very cold.
Very cold.
But the sun's shining and we're having a very enjoyable time here.
What's the purpose of the trip? What are you getting from it as Manchester United?
It's a camp for our under-18 players. We've brought 23 young men across. Mm-hmm. We've had a season that started in July. And it's something that's different. We're away from Carrington. Paul, the coach, and his two assistants can work hard with the boys without any interruptions from other people.
That's nice.
It's nice to be in a different country and learning their ways of life. We had a great offer from Jan, which we're very thankful for, and this week's been superb.
So who are you playing whilst you're here?
We're playing Dukla Banska Bystrica.
Yeah.
And we're playing Pezova.
Preshov, that's the one.
Preshov, sorry.
And I noticed on Sunday you were coaching the children from Poprad as well, which was fabulous.
Absolutely. It's another part of the young scholar's life. We have boys come in for a 2-year scholarship at Manchester United. Mm-hmm. They obviously are coming here to be first team footballers if possible, or get a professional career in football. But they also have other lifestyle issues to cover and career management things to do. One of them is to maybe take up coaching later on.
Sure.
And of course, not only that, but as a PR job on Sunday, it was wonderful to welcome the young children and for our boys to benefit from dealing with youngsters of that age.
And is that part of the role you see for somebody who's coming through the Manchester United route, i.e. they're very young guys that are coming into probably working with you for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years before they actually get to the first team, if they get to the first team? Is this kind of a sort of ladder for them to work on?
Well, there are lots of things in their scholarship, as I said, and learning little bits of rudiments of coaching does help you become a better player.
Does it?
Because if you know what the coach is thinking, it might help you to see why he's telling you to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And it also shows you how difficult it is to be a coach.
And I suppose the $64 million question is, if you're sitting at home listening to this right now, and you've got a youngster, can people actually just sort of get in touch with Manchester United if they're in the UK and say, my son's brilliant? Is it as simple as that? How does it work?
Not really, no. In the UK, there are rules and regulations as to distances and things like this. And most young boys now are picked up at a very young age by local clubs. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, there is a difficulty to get them away from those clubs.
Really?
Because they see them in their vicinity. We're only allowed to scout for young talent up to 1 hour for up to 13, 14, and then 1.5 hours after that, up to 16.
So travelling times.
Yeah, so if there's a really good player in, say, Bristol or London or Torquay, then he would need to come and live in Manchester.
Oh, right, so you can't go and
We have scouts looking for them.
Sure.
But a lot of them have been taken by clubs, and they cost money now.
Youngsters
now have a price on their head from the moment they sign for a professional football club.
Unbelievable.
I think it's a bit different, if you like. We have a safeguarding issue in England about all the safeguarding issues we have. And one of them, I think, is the fact that a young child has got a price on his head when he's a footballer, especially from 12 years old.
A bit different to your day, then.
A bit different from our day, when the English schools ran the children's football. All children's football, not all children's football, because there were youth clubs as well playing young footballers, but a lot of schools' football was played during the daytime by junior schools and secondary schools. Mm. And any boys who were any good would play for their town, Bolton schoolboys, Manchester schoolboys, etc. And if they were any good there, they'd go into their county and region. And then if they were really good at 15 years old, just like Ryan Giggs did, they'd go and play for England.
Sure.
Even though he's Welsh.
Yeah, I love that
one. Because he went to an English school.
But is that right?
Yes, he went to an English school. And in those days, obviously common sense prevailed again from the English schools. The fact that if he's living in Salford and he goes to an English school, what the heck's he travelling all the way to Cardiff to play the game, when he can train in Manchester or, as we did, at Lillishaw, which is about 1.5 hours down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan, in those days, went to a school in Salford, and he was playing for Manchester, for Salford schools. He ended up playing for Greater Manchester when he was under 16, and he played for my England team when I was managing England.
Yeah, amazing. So, I know this is a really difficult question, but if somebody is at home thinking the child's talented, or they're already showing a natural talent, what's the best thing for them to do then?
Well, if they live away from Manchester, and they really think their child's doing really well, and maybe clubs have been coming at them, but because they're a Manchester fan, you know, the father, the grandfather, everybody from the Munich disaster usually
Built
up. If they're really fanatics and they've been bringing them to Man United a long time, and, you know, if Fulham fancy them or Birmingham fancy them or somebody, but they've not signed for anybody, then they can send a letter in to the club.
Really?
And it will be passed on. And what we would do, we wouldn't trial the person, but we would try and find out where they were playing their junior football and go and scout them.
That's amazing.
But we don't take people just off hearsay from families.
No. You know,
and my son's very good.
Every parent's like it, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, well, obviously, the rose-tinted glasses syndrome is fair enough, really. But if they send little messages in, then we always try and follow something up.
That's cool.
We have many scouts all over the country. They would have an initial look. And hopefully, for example, if it was me who was asked, I would try and find a scout to tell me about it, tell me about what they thought of the boy, and I would ring the person up and say, I'm afraid he's not good enough for Manchester United,
but
we've had a look at him, or we'd love to see him again, maybe, if he's really good. But it doesn't happen very often, that.
No, I shouldn't think it does, because there's not many George Bests or Ryan Giggs about, is there?
There aren't. there aren't, because, unfortunately, football has changed now, and there aren't quite as many young boys playing in the same way that they used to play in the
50s. Is that a good or a bad thing, do you think?
Well, I think that life and society has changed. I would much rather maybe they weren't allowed to go on their computers until it was dark. It might be a good bonus for them. I think they were saying about how little children now walk during a week, as to when they used to walk. Even as late as the 80s, say, they don't walk as much now. They're taken to the school by mummy in the car, and they're picked up after or whatever. They don't walk to school, even if they live only about half a mile away, which is a shame, really, because that would help them out. They can't play out in the streets now because they'd be killed by the cars. It would be lovely if people in England could provide areas where they can go and play in safety, just floodlit areas all over the place, similar to the basketball courts that they build around the inner cities. I know there are some built, but it would be nice if that was done, and the safety.
Anyone listening, take notice of this from Dave, it'll help the kids out.
Well, it would be nice around the country if we had local councils building football areas, football play areas. And maybe they could have somebody paid to safeguard that area in the hours from, say, 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock.
Even a rotor of parents would do it, wouldn't it?
Well, as long as they knew they were taken through certain safeguarding issues.
Sure.
They were CRB checked, which is what you have to do. But people like that, and might even be, it sounds a bit silly this, because we have a job culture as well, we have to keep them away from those football areas. We want boys who want to play football there. We don't want people who want to go and maybe have a little smoke at the side or bring a few bottles along.
Sure.
So it would be caged in.
Although, funnily enough, if the system worked well, it could actually bring down the job culture.
Yeah. Well, people, young boys, if they had other things to do and play football, they might not.
Exactly, Dave.
So to pay a bit of money to do that would be actually saving money in the cost of all the...
Oh, it's cheaper than going through the courts, isn't
it? Absolutely.
Dave, it's been a great pleasure to meet you. Great honour to have you with us. I know you've got to get back to your training ground.
No problem.
So good luck and enjoy your stay here. And we'll maybe have seen one or two first-team players in the future.
Well, you never know. They've just got potential, these young boys. And over the next 2 to 3 years, we'll see how they progress. We have actually got 3 boys not here, 2 on international duty, and 1 who actually had 2 minutes for the first team on Tuesday, so he couldn't come across anywhere. So
crumbs.
We'll have to just...
The boys are there already, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Dave, thank you very much indeed.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.